And we are adjusting, aren't we as the day goes long. I'm watching the gray clouds switching over. I think we're actually going to have some really nice, cool weather out there for a couple hours before it rains again.
I think so. They keep advertising humidity, but this, everything's relative. So
yeah, I was going to say,
we're
South Florida babies. Right. This ain't humidity yet.
You don't know humidity.
Jim Burnside of Aviation Safety Magazine is my wonderful guest co-host this week. And we have switched guests.
The webcam people know that
because they're watching. We now have Matt Thurber, who is editor-in-chief at Aviation International News, which is really convention news publications right out of New Jersey. Matt, how are you today?
Awesome. Good morning, Oshkosh.
Good morning, Oshkosh. Matt has been flying since what, 1975?
Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. And you've been writing about it since what, 78?
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good.
There are people here who weren't born then.
Hard to believe.
It is so good to see you. Rumor is that you pretended to be a bombardier this week. What was that all about? I saw the most amazing selfie of you, and I think you were somewhere over the Wisconsin cornfields.
I had the best view in the house on my way into Oshkosh. In the bombardier seat of the B-29 Fifi, the commemorative Air Force B-29. And man, was that a lucky break for me.
You editors-in-chief, you just live very high on the hog. That's
only,
all
only
I've got
some
to
of
say.
Us.
Your co-pilot was Jeff Skiles, I hear.
That's right. Jeff Skiles was in the right seat, and in the left seat was my friend Al Benzing.
Oh, wow. Wow. I think it's the contacts. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's part of it.
All right. So what was it like, man?
It was incredible. I kind of had the expectation that these big old radial engines would be kind of rough and bumpy, and it was the smoothest ride I've had in a long time, as smooth as a 757.
Really?
That really does surprise me. I wonder if it's because you're so far forward or...
I'm not sure. I mean, I wore earplugs, but I didn't really feel like I needed them that much.
Can you see the engines from that spot?
You have to look back. It's. I mean, the view up front is what you're there for, and it was great just sailing over the Wisconsin countryside, looking out of this 1940s airplane at modern things like windmills and airports, and just the contrast was incredible.
Well, with all your years of experience, and you've obviously flown other airplanes and whatnot, was there anything in the operation of the aircraft that struck you as interesting or odd?
What's amazing to me is the dedicated crew that makes this all work together. There's 12 crew members that gets the B-29 into the air.
Wow.
And these things, I mean, it's really hard to believe that they were just taking off in World War II and going and doing their business and coming back and taking off over and over and over again, because they just, it seems like it's kind of sensitive and you have to be really careful. But once it's running, it just motors right along.
That is really interesting. Are those supercharged engines?
Yes,
okay.
Supercharged.
So they're meant to fly high. Is it pressurized?
No.
Okay.
Although a portion of it can be pressurized.
Curious.
Interesting.
So there's bulkheads you can block off and pressurize part of it, but not the whole thing.
Yeah. That makes it into a very complex kind of creature.
It's not a simple airplane, but it's really actually not that complicated systems-wise. I mean, there's no hydraulic system. It's all cable controls for the flight controls.
Yeah.
The only hydraulics are the brakes. No steerable nose wheel, which is interesting.
Really?
It's a fully cast-ring nose wheel. So the pilots tell me that taxiing is one of the most challenging jobs in the airplane.
Huh. I bet they got some monster brakes on that, but baby.
They do have monster brakes, but they're expander tube brakes, and the pilots say they're very grabby, so you have to be very gentle with them.
Oh, man.
And you end up using differential power for steering more than you do the brakes, even on the takeoff roll sometimes, depending on where the wind is coming from.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's well understood technology.
Absolutely. But yeah. I have to say that Jeff and Al made it look like there's nothing to it.
I can only imagine that flying an Airbus after that is pretty much peanuts.
I know they like to fly everything, but they really seem to enjoy this gig.
I can imagine.
I can imagine.
I had a friend of mine who was trying to explain last night why he liked retractable gear airplanes. And he said he liked airplanes that had lots of buttons and switches and things for him to do inside, because it made him feel more like a pilot. And everybody at the table just burst out laughing.
Well, he should join the commemorative Air Force and try to work his way up to flight engineer on the B-29, because you talk about buttons and stuff to push. The flight engineer is one of the hardest working people on that airplane.
Right.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. My husband used to say he loved the auto throttles on the 727. And everybody looks at me and they go, what? Auto throttles on the 727?
He said, the guy behind me.
He said, I say power, and this big hairy arm would come up and it would push the throttles forward.
That's true. But in the B-29, it's the same thing. You give the command and the flight engineer puts the throttles where you want them, but you have to think about it ahead of time.
Exactly.
It's not just instantaneous.
No, that is exactly right.
Exactly. Crew coordination to the max.
Well, see, we didn't invent it. Our generation didn't invent CRM. It's been there all along.
That's right, Amy.
That's right.
So that's not the only airplane you've had the chance to fly while you were here. This is like Warbirds Week for you, Matt.
Apparently, for I don't know why, but Boeing Plaza's full of Warbirds, mm-hmm. and I'm getting all sorts of great warbird opportunities. This morning I had the privilege of flying with the Phillips 66 Aerostars team in their Yak 52s.
Oh, that's nice.
And we just beat the big thunderstorm. It was really pretty up there with the dark clouds in the background, doing a loop and a barrel roll. My pilot for this flight was Harvey Meek, who's the flight lead for the Phillips 66 Aerostars, and these guys are real pros. Perfect formation, loop, and barrel roll.
Outstanding.
Oh, that's sweet. And there had to be some wind up there.
It was actually quite smooth, and it was very nice up there, despite the looming storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just far enough away, huh?
That's right.
Oh, that's very sweet. Cool. That's sweet.
What other airplanes have you been able to fly so far this show, or do you think you'll be doing so before it's over?
Nothing else so far, but tomorrow afternoon, well, actually tomorrow morning, L3 has invited me to go up for a flight in their Bonanza mm-hmm. to try out the Lynx ADS-B in and out receiver.
You're going to like that. You're going to like that.
That's a sweet unit. I like it a lot. And it's going to be fun to try out some of the new apps they've installed on there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of those also.
Yeah, Jeb actually flies with that product right now.
Yeah, I've got a Link NGT9000 in my Debonair. And very nice little product, yeah.
I think they've done a good job with it.
Yeah.
Then tomorrow afternoon, I'm scheduled to go up in the Phillips 66 again in aluminum overcast, B-17.
The B-17.
We have to talk later.
I don't know how this happened.
This in-chief gig is getting better every day, isn't it?
So far, so good, Amy.
Oh, man, that is sweet. So what have you seen here at the show that has really piqued your curiosity and made you want to dig deeper?
So, for some reason, I'm not sure if it's because the FAA finally came to its senses and said, you know, some of this sophisticated avionics stuff that's made its way into the experimental world actually is safe and reliable, and we could probably use it in light airplane, regular certificated light airplanes. And that attitude seems to have really permeated the industry, and the avionics manufacturers have responded in a big way. The big deal this year is autopilots. Mm-hmm. And we all know that an autopilot can be a great safety tool, but it just boggles my mind. Why is it taking us so long to realize that small airplanes can use them too? All pilots can benefit from them. Yeah.
It's definitely a sea change, both at the especially at the agency, but also in the industry.
I think so. And now this year there's at least three new autopilot systems, digital autopilot systems, with level buttons and altitude hold, altitude pre-select. I mean, it's wonderful. This is going to be a great safety improvement.
I have to say, I flew up here with a new autopilot, and it has GPSS and GPSV, which is vertical, so it anticipates and all that other stuff. And it is a lovely thing to have that for the first time in my life. It changes stuff. Plus, there's a big difference between the analog and the digital in terms of accuracy. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, yeah. I think it's great. And the prices are pretty remarkably helpful. I mean, before you couldn't even think of putting an autopilot in an old Skyhawk, but now it's there.
We're talking with Matt Thurber. He is the editor-in-chief of AIN Publications. Matt, where can people find Aviation International News on the web?
We love to share our material at AIN, and just go to AINonline.com. You can sign up for all our free newsletters and read all of our content anytime you want.
Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and talk with us, and I hope you have a wonderful AirVenture 2017.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Jeb.
My pleasure.